great to have all of you here, and really looking forward to next Sunday night and celebrating their accomplishments from Daniel all the way to those in college and things like that. Sister Bethany and her really amazing academic career that she's carried on through Goshen High School, and we're looking forward to just celebrating with them their wonderful achievements. Really excited about that. But before we get started, this might seem a little awkward, but I want to make an announcement or just tell you something here real quick. I've had multiple people come up to me in the past couple days and tell me that they sent me texts or left voicemails and different things like that that I have not received. And I'm sorry that that's taken place. I'm planning on going tomorrow, really looking into it. And I'm going to have to get an upgrade for my phone. It's about that time anyway, I think, so I'm going to go in there and look. But if you've sent me a text or you left a message and I didn't respond, it's not because I don't care. It's because I never got it. So I just wanted you to know that. And if you needed me for something, come see me after service, and we'll get that taken care of, okay? All right, let's go ahead and stand. And we're going to be getting into the Word here real quick. I know people have a lot of things to do, being Memorial Weekend and things like that. I encourage you to be faithful to this evening's service. I know there's a lot of people gone because of the holiday and things like that. But we're going to be continuing on in the subject of prayer for just this morning's service. And it's not because I don't think Brother Micah Perry did a wonderful job during revival, because he did. But there's something I really felt the Lord impress upon my heart during the week that we need to go over. And it's going to be a very different style of sermon, okay? I'm just going to be presenting information to you that I want you to come down and put to use at the altar. So it's going to be a different style of sermon, but that'll be okay. So turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 8. Okay, now before we start reading this, you need to understand that Nehemiah had a burden on his heart. And in verse 8, he begins to pray to God. So when I start this particular text, we're going to read verses 8 through 11. I want you to understand, this is Nehemiah engaging in a prayer to God. And it starts off saying, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandedest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Now I want you to notice two words in that entire prayer that are very, very important when it comes to God's people engaging in prayer. In verse 8, you see the first word is "remember." And then in verse 10, the first word is "now." I want you to remember those two words. And now I'm going to read out of Acts chapter 11, verse 16, just the first part of the verse, and you don't have to turn there. It's where Peter said, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said." And what I want to preach to you this morning is building a proper foundation for your prayers. Building a proper foundation for your prayers. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, and we love you so very much. We're thankful for the way that you have made your word so easy for us to understand so that we could go on to apply it to our lives. Lord, we want to be found acceptable in your sight. Lord, you've given us the word. It tells us that we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, we can know what you expect of us, and you will enable us to be able to do all those things. So Lord, we pray, Lord, as we come to you and we're looking to learn how to pray in the way that you desire us to, Lord, I pray that you would help us to really pay attention to what the Word of God has to say us this morning, Lord, so that we can apply it to our lives and have a fruitful prayer life in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Okay. Building the proper foundation for your prayers. Okay. Now, as Christians, how many of you know that prayer is a pretty important thing? Amen. Now, why is it so important? It's because it's our direct communication line with God. That's the way that we talk to Him. That's how we have a relationship with Him. You know, a lot of people fall out of the boat with me on this, but the Word of God instructs us as to who God is, what He expects, what He desires of His people. But the only way that you can have a relationship with Him is not just through obedience, Brother Jared. Am I right? It's through prayer. That's how you become intimate with Him. So it's easy to see that prayer is very important, to say the least. For instance, God designed prayer as a means for us as the people of God to be able to come to Him, to be able to speak to Him, and to be able to give Him all of our desires and all the things that are troubling us. Amen. He established the practice of prayer so that we could have the opportunity to take all of our needs to Him, all of our desires to Him, all of our faults to Him, all of our failures to Him, all of our frustrations to Him, all of our concerns, all of our petitions, all of our situations and all of our circumstances. He's given us the opportunity to bring to Him in prayer and to tell Him all about it. And it's important we understand that when we go to God in prayer, we don't have to make an appointment first like you do at the doctor. You ever have to do that? I mean, you're sick as a dog and you try to make an appointment with them and they say, well, we can get you in next Tuesday. I don't need to see you next Tuesday. I need to see you now. But it's not like that with God. We don't have to sit in a waiting room. But when we need Him, He has made the opportunity that we can go directly to Him. I mean, you really need to think about that, because what a privilege it is for us as human beings to have the opportunity to have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to be able to have Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 fulfilled in our lives, where it says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find grace to help in our time of need. But folks, we've got to understand, when we're talking about the subject of prayer, that's our opportunity. God has provided that with us. I mean, yes, it's important, but we need to understand that we have that opportunity and that privilege. It's already been slipped. God has already laid that down for us. But not only do we have the opportunity to have an audience with God, but one of the most amazing things about prayer is the fact that He actually has an interest in what we bring before Him as well. I mean, you gotta think. I mean, here God is. I mean, He can do absolutely anything. I mean, He's the ruler of everything. And you would think that our problems might seem a little bit boring to Him. But instead, He's extremely interested in Him. I mean, the Bible teaches us that our Heavenly Father is actually interested and cares about everything that we bring before Him. Again, that might sound basic, but you need to understand. The Bible tells us time and time again that God is concerned about the situations that we have to face, especially when we bring those situations before Him in prayer. Now, have you ever been talking to somebody and you were going through a very, very difficult time in your life, and you were trying to express your concerns and the weight and the burden that you were feeling at that time because of what you were going through, and the whole time you were talking to them, you could tell they didn't really care anything about what you had to say? I mean, here you are in tears, you know, running down your face. I mean, your voice is cracking. I mean, you're under a tremendous strain. And as soon as you get done, they say, well, I wonder who's winning the ball game or something like that. We've all faced that, haven't we? I mean, we need to understand that's not the way it is with the Lord. Amen. God is interested in everything that we bring before Him. And that's why Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that we can cast all of our care upon Him. Why? Because He cares about us. Amen. He's concerned about our circumstances. He's interested in our situations. As a matter of fact, He is consumed and He's captivated by the things that we bring to Him in prayer. And the reason why is simply because He loves us. Why He does, I don't understand, but He does. So everything that we bring to Him in prayer is of the utmost concern to Him. And because of that, He's given us the opportunity to have an audience with Him. Because He's interested in every single one of our lives. And He's interested in every single area of our lives. So we all understand the extreme importance of prayer. Right? And for the most part, I think we do understand it. Especially when we're talking about those things. I mean, we understand that God has a purpose behind our prayers, right? We understand that. I mean, we understand that there's a necessity to pray. Like Brother Perry was preaching about the obligation of the altar. I mean, we understand that. I mean, we know that prayer can move the hand of God, right? We understand all those things. But at the same time, we'd also have to admit that there still remains a problem a lot of times when it comes to our personal prayer lives. Because even though we understand all of those basic and essential things about prayer, we would all have to also admit that oftentimes our prayers seem very ineffective, don't they? Okay, now, this is going to be the point in the service, Brother Paul, where everybody tries to act like they're so spiritual that they don't know what I'm talking about. But you're forgetting you've come to me complaining about this very thing. So I'm not going to call out names, but let's all remember that, okay? A lot of times, even as much as we pray, even as much as we understand about prayer, a lot of times it seems like all of our prayers lose their power as soon as they lose, you know, go off the top of our lips. Like they don't get any higher than the ceiling, you know, and we're praying, we're seeking the face of God, but it doesn't seem like the things that we're wanting to see accomplished are actually being accomplished. Y'all ever felt that way before? I know I have. Now, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that we blame God for this problem. We understand it's not His fault. I mean, we realize that somehow it's got to be us. Somehow there's something in our prayer life that's not working. I mean, maybe we're not doing this or maybe we're not doing that or whatever the case might be. Amen. But somehow we understand that we're failing in our praying. And that point frustrates us to no end. Because it's staring us in the face. I mean, Brother Miller, we can't say every prayer I utter is answered immediately. Even when we know it's the will of God for that thing to be accomplished, and we're thinking, Lord, what's going on here? And when that problem is a realization in your life, how many of you know that it needs to be fixed? Amen? How many of you know that God wants it to be fixed? Now, we've all heard different sermons preached about things that can hinder our prayers, right? I mean, we've heard people preach on, well, you have not because you ask not. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I mean, we've heard all different kinds of things. I preached a message with five different points of things that can hinder your prayers. I mean, we've all heard that kind of thing before. But there's one very important aspect of prayer that's oftentimes neglected by the modern church. And the problems that we're experiencing in our prayer life, I believe, is a direct result of this problem. And it's a problem that you don't hear talked about very much. But before we begin, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, but before we really get into that, I want to show you an issue in my own life where God started making this topic very real to me, okay? Several years ago, before I was getting ready to preach on a Wednesday night, got a call from Ozark Bible Institute, and they told us that the Lloyd family, which are missionaries to Haiti, if you know them, had went through a very, very difficult circumstance in their life. And what had happened is Sister Lloyd and their children, Brother Lloyd was not in the car with them, but they were driving down the road and they came to a military checkpoint, or what looked like a military checkpoint. And when they got there, they found out very quickly that it wasn't the military that had set up this thing, but it was actually bandits that were dressed like soldiers and had the road blocked. And what they did is Sister Lloyd didn't understand exactly what was going on. She thought it was the military and things like that, and they asked her to get out of the car, and she got out of the car. Well, then they got in with their kids and drove off and just left her standing there. Well, that's something that's a very common occurrence in Haiti. Okay, something that happens there is a lot of time children, especially young women, are kidnapped and they're taken and they're sold into slavery. Okay? And they get these people, and you've got to understand how the nation of Haiti works. It's an extremely corrupt government. Okay? So just because these kids are kidnapped, it isn't like there's a giant manhunt that's going on for them, because the people that are running the country are actually getting a kickback from the people that are buying them as slaves. Sister Lloyd, Brother Lloyd, nobody has any idea where they would have possibly been taken to. And on top of that, The people that are kidnapped do not remain in the nation for very long because they get them out so they can never be caught. So these are the circumstances that this family's facing, and we get the call, hey, I need you to pray about this. Well, I came up because we got it right before the service and we did pray. And I knew that God could remedy that situation. I mean, I've studied enough about prayer that I understand that He can do absolutely anything. I knew that, but I just didn't see how. I mean, I want you to think about what they were facing. Their kids had already been taken. They had no idea where they had been taken to. The way it works there is they immediately get those kids out of that country and sell them, you know, East Africa, somewhere in Asia, up in northern Russia. I mean, they get them wherever they might go to be these slaves and things like that. And nobody is, you know, they don't keep a record of that and send it back to the family. I mean, it was as bad a situation as you could, as impossible of a situation as you could imagine. And I knew that God had the ability to take care of it. I just didn't expect Him to because how impossible the situation seemed. Okay? And I know that you felt that way about things too. And what that really boils down to is a lack of what? Faith. But while I was struggling over that situation, especially after that service in the morning, came in to pray about it, and I was struggling over my lack of faith that I realized that I had. And while I was in prayer, the Lord really began to speak to my heart. And He reminded me of a story concerning the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 12. And He said, I want you to read that. And I said, well, Lord, I'm very familiar with that story. You know, I don't need to read it again. He impressed upon my heart to read that story. And if you've read Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 1, you know that James had been killed by King Herod. And then because he saw it pleased the Jews, it says that he took Peter and had him thrust into the inner prison, chained between two guards, and on the next day he was going to bring him out and kill him too. But in the middle of the night, because the church was praying for him, we see that God sent an angel that came down into the midst of that prison, broke off his fetters, opened up the gates, let him out to freedom, and he came and knocked on the church door house and he said, here I am, as free as a bird. And then he spoke to my heart and he said, if I got Peter out of that, I can get those Lloyd kids out of it too. Now, when you think about that, I mean, think, well, Lord, I know that You can. You know, I know that You can do that. I was encouraged, but I didn't expect to get the report that we did about those Lloyd kids. Because in less than 24 hours than when they were taken, somehow they were recovered and brought back to their family. In the midst of completely impossible odds. Nobody was even really looking for him. Now, I want you to think about the fact that that was the exact same type of situation. The Lloyd family situation and Peter's situation in Acts chapter 12. There were lives that were undoubtedly on the line. There was seemingly no way of rescue for the person that was in trouble. It was as bleak of a situation as you could possibly see. And really everything seemed almost absolutely hopeless except for the abilities of God. The only difference between those two situations was about 2,000 years. That's it. Okay. Now here's what he really began to deal with my heart. He said, listen, you need to stop looking at what you're facing, because that will never produce any kind of faith in your life, which is exactly what I was lacking. He said, but rather you need to start looking at what I've already done and then let your faith rise from that. Understand what I just said, okay? I was looking at how impossible this situation seemed, just like many of you have in some of the situations that you're going through, maybe even right now. And because of that, you don't have any faith in your heart. You're not excited. You don't have any type of expectancy. Because when you're staring at your problem, that doesn't produce faith. But when you go back and think about what God has already done or what He promised that He would do, that's where our faith rises up off of. And our faith can rise from that. Remember, I'm preaching to you about building a proper foundation for prayer. So I want you to notice, this is what God was doing. He was taking my attention off what I was facing, and He put it on an instance where He had already come down and met the exact same kind of need in a person's life. And since then, He's been dealing with me very strongly about the importance of the modern church getting back to the practice of using the Word of God to build a foundation for our prayers. In other words, we look to the Bible and we find a promise dealing with the situation that we're facing. We find an instance of God performing the situation that we're facing. And then we use that to build faith inside of our lives and we go from there. Okay. Why is it so important that we do this? I realize that I just said this, but number one, because it builds faith. A lot of people write that off. Well, I know you got to have faith, Pastor, when you pray. I understand that. Well, I don't think we understand just how important having faith actually is. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The only way to have faith in your life is by knowing what the Word of God has to say. That's it. It makes it very clear. It's absolutely clear that our faith both originates and it flourishes from what we're told inside of the Bible. We've got to understand. It's not going to come any other way. Then we also got to get a hold of what we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, or comes to God in prayer, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's essential. In other words, if we're lacking in faith as we're coming to God in prayer, then the entire process of prayer is going to be hindered as a result. Notice how James said it in chapter 1, verse 6. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So if we want to have God move when we pray to Him, what's one thing that has to be in place? Faith. Where's the only place that we're going to gain it? From the Bible. Understand that. But all too often, what we do is we neglect that essential step altogether. And we don't make any provision to strengthen our faith before we go to God in prayer. What we do is we just automatically and immediately hit our knees and we start seeking the face of God without the faith that we need, without even thinking of referring to God's Word. Amen. But the Bible tells us that the Word of God ought to be the wellspring that we draw from before and as we are coming to God in prayer. Not a neglected step. But I really want, and I'm not asking for a raise of hands, but how many of you, when you're facing a situation, try to come up with a verse where God has promised you that He would move in that situation, and try to think of a verse where He already has. We don't even consider that stuff. We fall down on our knees and we start to pray, and oftentimes we don't have the faith that we need. Why? Because we're not going to the very thing that gives us faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Okay? We should always take the time to allow the Word of God to fill our hearts with the very thing that we need most when we come to God in prayer, which is faith. We have to take that step, and it has to be the first step. Now, second reason why it's so important that we do this is because that faith that we gain will then cause an expectancy to rise up inside of our lives. That faith that we gain will build a progression or begin a progression. Because once we get a hold of what God has promised us, that's when we start to expect Him to bring it to pass. Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, because after all, I mean, you just got to boil it down to the very basics. Why does God give His promises in the first place? So that we can partake of them. I mean, and really, all of a sudden, prayer becomes so simple, I mean, when you have that foundation laid, that you don't expect God to do anything but what He's promised to do. Because after all, if He promised, then surely He's going to do it. Now, you know, if I went out and I bought Brother Gio a brand new house, and I gave him the keys and, you know, all that stuff and just said, hey, brother, here's your new golf course house, you know, blah, 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 and a real nice place, swimming pool and all this stuff, I would surely expect him to move in and live there. That's why I bought it for him. I mean, if I had invited all of you and say, hey, next Saturday, you know, afternoon, come on over to the Kincaid house. We're going to, you know, get out the grill and I'm going to make all kinds of food for us. We're going to have a big cookout. And I sat out there all morning and I was cooking steaks and barbecued chicken and hamburgers and hot dogs and pork chops and all this stuff. I mean, when you folks arrived, I'd expect you to eat something. Why? Because that's why I spent the time preparing all that stuff for you. And when God gives us a promise in His Word, He gives it with the sole intention of us partaking of it. And when we understand that there is a promise given towards our situation, faith begins to rise because we realize that's the only reason that He's even given that promise. Y'all follow me? Okay. But it's not only His promises that we need to look to when we're preparing ourselves for prayer, but we also have to look at His proven testimony as well. The things that He's already accomplished in the past. And if you want your faith to begin to soar inside of your spiritual man, all you have to do is call to remembrance or begin to study the countless instances in the Word of God about how God came down and accomplished the impossible for His people. And then after you've spent time and you've filled your heart and your mind with not only His promises, but also His performances, turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 and read that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then turn to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 9 where it says that God is no respecter of persons. And then you can let the Lord say the same thing to you that He said to me when He told me to turn to Acts chapter 12. And He'll say, well, if I did it for them, then surely I can come and do it for you. When we get a hold of the fact that God has given us a promise dealing with our situation, and when we can go in the Word of God and we see where He has worked out a very similar circumstance is what we're going through at that moment, faith is almost hard not to come by, folks. The Bible promises that's what it will produce inside of us, but what I want you to understand is a lot of times we don't even consider that. We immediately go to prayer and we don't have the faith that we need. Now, let's look at our text again. Because here is Nehemiah prayed, I want you to notice what his focus was on. In verse 8 it says, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commanded thy servant Moses. Now, it's obvious there that his focus was on the promises of God. He said, Lord, I want you to remember what you promised to Moses. This is what I'm basing my prayer off of. Lord, I understand that you have made this promise in the past. And yet this promise was also something that God had already performed. And Nehemiah knew that. I mean, he understood that God had already performed this. So then in verses 10 and 11, he starts to bring this into present tense. And he says, now, these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. In other words, you've already moved. You've already accomplished this promise that you've made. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day and grant him mercy. Now, this shows us that Nehemiah's heart was already prepared and it was already settled before he ever started praying. Because that's what the whole basis of his prayer is off of. And that preparation that he took and that provision that he made caused him to have the faith to say, Lord, if this is something that you've promised, then accomplish it inside of my life. I'm going to stand on it. I mean, if this is something that you want your children to experience, this is a promise that you've made available to us, then Lord, I'm going to stand on that promise. Lord, you've accomplished it in times past, and which proves that it's undoubtedly your will and that you have the power to do it. So Lord, what I'm asking you is because of these two things, I want you to come down and do it for me. I understand that there's years difference between when you made that promise, when you performed it in the past, and the situation that I'm going through now. But did that hinder him from still basing his prayer off that? No, it caused him to have the faith to offer it up and expect God to do something about it. And when you read the remaining chapters, you'll see that's exactly what God did. Came down and answered his prayer in the exact way that he was asking him to. He built his prayer off of that foundation. And what I believe this morning is I believe that the Lord wants us to know that if we'll just do those same things, we will obtain that same kind of faith and we will experience those same results. Why? Because it's biblical. It's the basis of prayer. God's trying to make it more than clear. And he's saying, listen, I understand that people get frustrated in their prayer lives because things ain't happening. But yet I've told you that if you don't pray with faith, that man shouldn't even expect that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. And on the other hand, I've also told you how to go about getting it. You know, he said, I don't want you to be powerless in your prayers. I don't want them to be ineffective. But you've got to prepare before those things can come to pass. And you prepare by filling your heart and mind with the promises that he has given us and by the proven testimony that he can by all means accomplish it. And when you have those things solidified in your mind, that's when you hit your knees and expect to see some results. Because there's no doubt. There's nothing wavering. You know it's his will. You know it's his will for your life. You know that's what he wants to accomplish. You know that he can accomplish it. So why would you doubt? But so many times that's just what we do. Now, did you know that a lot of times we can shoot ourselves in the foot before we ever really go to the Lord in prayer? And it's all because we fail to prepare in the way that I'm talking about. And because of it, we have no faith, we have no expectancy, and a lot of times we don't see the results we want to see. And that frustration, unfortunately, just recycles itself. And every time we go to prayer, we fail to prepare ourselves in the way that we should. We don't have the faith that we need. We don't go to the Word of God and find a promise. We don't go to the Word of God and see how He's already accomplished it. We just start praying and we don't have the faith and we don't see anything happen. And God wants us to understand it doesn't have to be that way. A lot of people say, well, you know, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord wouldn't hear me. You know, but I don't have any known sin in my life. I mean, I'm trying my hardest to live a pure and a holy life, and yet my prayers aren't being answered. Sometimes there's more to it than just one verse. But a lot of times it's an easy fix. Like this one is. Amen? We need to fill our minds with this solution before we ever go to try to attack the problem. Now, the sermon's done. Okay, and I realize that I don't ever get done this early, so don't expect me to this time either, right? But here's where it's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to give you some examples of putting this principle into practice, okay? Because there's all kinds of people here that are going through all different kinds of things. I don't know what it is. Some people I know, some people I don't. But I just want to throw out some different examples that if I heard this message, how I'd try to put it into practice, okay? For instance, let's say that you're a new convert. Say that you love God, you've just gotten saved, and you want to know more about Him, and you want to start to excel in your faith, but you have trouble knowing what the Lord wants from your life. I mean, you're not understanding. I mean, you just don't know very much about the Bible, but you want more of God. I mean, you want all those different things. I mean, the first thing I do, one of the verses that helped me more than anything when I was a new convert, is what Paul had to say about the new converts he was talking to in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Now notice, we're wanting to know what God's will is for our life. We want a promise to be able to stand on that. We know He wants us to grow and become the people that He wants us to be. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. In other words, God wants you to get a hold of the deep things He has in store for you. So we know that He has some things in store. Then I turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, where Paul goes on to say, he said, for this cause also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now here's what I'm saying. When you read the promises of God, His expressed will in the Word of God about how the Lord Himself feels about a new convert, you can go to the Lord in prayer and you can say, Lord, this is obvious Your will for my life because I'm a new convert too. This is what You desire for somebody in my position that wants to know You more but is ignorant of all this stuff that lays before me. I just don't understand. I ain't been in church very long. But Lord, it's obvious what You want to do, what You want to accomplish, so I'm asking You, go ahead and accomplish it. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Or let's say that you find yourself with a lack of desire to read and study the Bible. Anybody ever been there? I mean, I know that we're supposed to, but that doesn't always mean that we want to, right? Well, if you're in that situation, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and make it your prayer. You can say, God, as a newborn babe, help me to desire the sincere milk of the Word that I may grow thereby. Or you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and pray, Lord, help me to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but that I would have the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. Read through Job and see how he said that he desired God's word more than his necessary food. Read Psalms 119 where David goes on. And finally in another psalm he says, Lord, my soul longeth for Thee. My flesh thirsteth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. In other words, God, Your Word's the only thing that is going to quench this desire that I have in my life. And say, Lord, if that's the way that I ought to feel, if that's the way that You desire for me to feel, then that's obviously what You want to accomplish in my life. So come and do it. Amen. Say that you know you ought to be witnessing, but you haven't been. Okay? And it seems like you have every possible excuse under the sun to not go out and share your faith. And say one excuse you come up with is the fact that you're not a very bold person. Okay? Now, if I ask people to raise their hands about if that's an excuse they raise as why they don't go out and witness, that would be one that probably all of you would. I'm just not bold enough to do that. That's for, you know, this person or that person, you know. I just can't do that. Well, he still gave us a great commission, right? He still expects that. So really an excuse isn't going to work, right? So just because we say, well, I'm not bold and that's what you want me to be, I mean, that doesn't get us off the hook. So what do we got to do? Okay. You turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and say, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. By stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. His will and His proven testimony laid out before us in one single portion of Scripture. God, do You want me to be bold? By all means, You want me to. If I'll pray just like they did, I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, He's going to come down and fill you with that boldness so you can accomplish everything He's asked you to do. Or go back and study the life of Peter and see how, you know, the Lord had put a commission on his life and he had dedicated himself to the Lord, but he just goes on to deny Him to a servant girl. And then all of a sudden you see him standing in front of a crowd of people that just got done chanting, crucify him. And here's what he proclaims to him because of this boldness he realized he needed. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then begin to cry out to God and say, just like, you know, you see in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and say, Lord, I want this verse to be said of me. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Peter was as jelly-spined as a person could possibly be. I understand his difficult situations. I mean, I understand why he was scared to deny the Lord in front of a bunch of girls. And we've got to take that into consideration before we give him too bad of a rap. But the fact of the matter is he wasn't standing up like he was supposed to, Brother Zeldin. So he began to pray and say, God, I realize this is a problem in my life. We can look at that account and see that that is obviously God's will for our life. We can see how God completely changed and revolutionized that guy's spiritual life and turned him as bold as you could possibly be. And we can say, Lord, if you did it in him, come and do it in me. A basis for our faith. Or say that you have been witnessing and you haven't seen much fruit for your labors, which is extremely frustrating. You can begin to cry out the promises of God that you see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, where it says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you can say, Lord, I know that is your will. You don't just want the people that I talk to be witnessed to. You want them to be won by the blood of Christ. You don't want me to just plant seeds. However, that's good. I'm not saying anything against that. But you want them to be solidified in a faith in Christ. That's what you want for their lives. And you can begin to pray and you can look at God's past and say, well, God, can you actually save somebody and not just have people be preached to? And He'll say, well, if you read in Acts chapter 2, you'll see on the day of Pentecost, I saved 3,000 people. I mean, you say, God, well, you know, what is your proven past history? He'll say, well, why don't you read in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, and after the healing at the lame man at the beautiful gate, you'll see that 5,000 people got saved and weren't just preached to. He'll say, why don't you keep going in the book of Acts and watch how I led Philip to the city of Samaria and I saved the entire city. I don't want just seeds to be planted, but I want to see people get saved and then say, Lord, if you've done it for them, if that's your revealed will in Scripture, if you've proven that you can bring it to pass, then Lord, I'm going to stand on those things and ask that you would come and accomplish it in me. Say you need deliverance in your life from some area. And you don't seem to get victory over things that have you bound. What you can do is you can open up to the book of Exodus. You can read over how God delivered the Israelites out of the iron fist of Pharaoh. Amen? And you can notice how well that story fits. I mean, you see that they were a people that wanted to be free, and then they were crying out continually, let this people go, but the enemy persisted in keeping them bound. They even tried to flee and leave all of that stuff behind, only to be chased down, backed into a corner, and stuck right in front of the Red Sea, seemingly with no way of escape, until the hand of God came and intervened and completely eradicated their problem miraculously. And then you can say, Lord, that story's an exact mirror image of the situation that I've been going through. Lord, I feel that I'm bound in this area, whether it's fear, whether it's an addiction. I don't care what it is. It's something you just can't seem to get past. Look in the Word of God about what God has to say about that thing. Understand and find something where God came and delivered somebody else from that. And say, God, if you've done it, and if that's your will, I'm going to expect it for myself. I'm not trying to bore you here. I'm giving you a lot of different examples. So when I call you down, you're going to be able to figure some things out. Let's say that you're harboring bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. Okay? And you realize that Jesus said very plainly in Mark chapter 6, verse 14, if ye forgive man their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, and it's a big but, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And you've been struggling with that. You know what it says and you know what the consequences are, but you just can't seem to get past this thing that you're struggling with, this bitterness that you have inside of your heart. Well, what you can do is you can begin to read the accounts in the Word of God where Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross or even where Stephen was being stoned to death. And in the midst of their situations, which is probably as bad as you can possibly get. I mean, if you're talking about wanting to be mad at somebody, I mean, we have people do stupid stuff to us all the time. But if something's, you know, a legitimate cause to be mad, you know, if they nail you to a tree, I think that trumps, you know, somebody TPing your house. Somebody's throwing rocks at you until you perish. I mean, that kind of, you might be able to have, you know, kind of a problem. But in the midst of those things, they said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you can cry out and you can say, Lord, I don't know how in the world you did it, but you obviously did. And come and give me that kind of forgiving heart. Give me a heart that can see past this situation and engage inside of my obligation, which is to love these people that do me so wrong unconditionally, so that my spiritual life isn't hindered as a result. Lord, they hurt me bad enough in the physical. Don't let them hurt me in the spiritual. Let's say that you lack a burden for other people. Okay? I mean, the Bible says that, you know, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, a good way to say this is, you know, we have prayer requests that are given every Wednesday and a lot of times different services here at the church. You know, and a lot of times I wonder how much people actually pray about them outside of that service. I mean, when the Word of God is very clear that we're to bear one another's burdens. In other words, if it's bothering Sister Adame and she expresses it, it ought to bother me enough to go down on my knees before God and ask Him to help her with it, okay? But a lot of times I think we hear those things and we might mumble them off in that service, but it doesn't go any further than that. And we say, Lord, I realize that I'm supposed to have a burden for these things. And if I have a burden, then I'd be taking it to you. But Lord, that connection just isn't firing off inside of my life. Well, what you can do is you can read about what Paul said about the Thessalonians. In chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians, he said that he was willing to impart to them even his own soul because they were so dear to him. You say, man, God, come and do that kind of thing inside of me. I mean, you can read about in Romans where he said he would be willing to burn in hell for all of eternity if the Jews would just come to Christ. You say, God, if you can come down and create a burden that is that strong in somebody else, then Lord, I'm asking you to come down and create that kind of burden inside of me. I know that your word says I should have a burden, and I've seen that you've accomplished that burden inside of Paul to where he'd be willing to go to hell if you just helped somebody else. So God, surely you can get me past this thing in my life. Is this making sense to you? Let's say that you're having a difficult time living the holy life that we've all been commanded to live. Fill your mind with the promises of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Then fill your mind with proof that God can do that. Where Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God." Then he went on to say in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and he says, "So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice that would be holy and acceptable unto God." You say, God, if that's obviously what you want, you've called me to holiness time and time again, but I'm struggling in doing it. Lord, help me to focus in the Word of God where there was people that were just like me, but you accomplished it in them to the point where Paul could say that he was completely crucified. That he put his flesh aside so that you could come down and live your life through him. Lord, that's the experience that I want to have. I mean, friends, we could go on and on and on with different examples. Say you have a lost loved one. You say, man, it just seems impossible. They'll never get saved. I mean, that was said about Brother Holmes. That was said about me. That was said about all different kinds of people. It's probably said about you too. And then start reading in the Word. I mean, we know what Peter said. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, regardless of how wicked they might seem to you. I mean, we know that He doesn't want them to go to hell. We know that He can save absolutely anyone. The Word of God says it very clear. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know what His will is. Begin reading stories like the prodigal son, who was the biggest mess you could possibly ever encounter. But one day God caused him to come to Himself, didn't He? If He caused him to, then He calls them to. Read about the Philippian jailer. I mean, he beat the men of God, and then just a couple sentences later, you see that him and his entire family got saved and started washing their stripes. Find a promise. Find an instance and stand on the things. And when you go to God in prayer, have faith that's going to cause expectancy rather than lack of foundation to where you don't have the very thing it's going to take to see your prayers come and be answered. And sister, go ahead and come. I'm trying to get you to see that we need to build our faith before we hit our knees. We need to take the time, just like Jude said, to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. There's only one way that we can do that, and that's by preparing ourselves before we pray. Now, I understand that sometimes we have a walking knowledge about things. Divine healing. I mean, does God want to heal people? Can you think of an instance in the Bible where somebody was? Okay. Well, instead of just dismissing that in our minds and just saying, well, I know God wants to, and just come down and start praying, take the time to look that up. By His stripes we are healed. Look up that verse and begin to think about it. Lord, if You are willing to be beaten so that this person I'm praying for could be healed, then surely You want to accomplish it. Let's say they have cancer. Let's say they have this. Let's say they have that. I mean, start thinking about impossible situations. Think about Eutychus that fell out of the window. He was dead. He didn't just need healed. He needed brought back to life. And said, well, God, if You took care of that, then surely You can heal my Uncle Rick that's having trouble with his kidneys. And I realize that we have knowledge of those things. But what does it do when you go back and you begin to see those things afresh and anew in the Word? It builds faith. Which is what you need before you start to pray. So here's what I'm going to ask everybody to do. I'm going to repeat myself one more time to make sure everybody's got it. Before we pray, we need to find a promise in the Word of God that we can stand on. After we find that promise, we need to find an account of God performing that promise so that we have absolutely no doubt that He can come down and do it. You'd say, well, the person I'm praying for is a drug addict, and there's no reference to that in the Word of God. You're going to be able to figure it out, trust me. God's going to help you with those things. And then once you do those things, let your faith rise from those things and rejoice over what God comes and accomplishes. If we make the provisions that we need to make, there will be a firm foundation that needs to be in place so that when we go to prayer, our prayers can be solidified on that foundation and actually stand as we're offering them up. But when that faith is not there, what happens when you pull a foundation out from under something? It crumbles. And it happens to us all the time. And it's not because you're not praying effectually or fervently enough. It's not because you have a bunch of sin in your life. Maybe you do. But a lot of times the reason why they're not answered is because we're lacking faith, and this will take care of it, I promise you. Amen. Let's stand. Now I'm going to call everybody to come down and pray here. I can guarantee you, everyone here has a need in their life, right? If you don't see me, I'm going to probably go over the drums, and so you guys can have more music to pray with. And just come see me, and I'll tell you some needs that are on my heart. But I really want you to think about this. Before you just start taking off and start praying and praying and praying, try to build that foundation we've been talking about. Think or find a promise. Think of an instance and let your faith rise from that and see the difference that it will make. You say, well, why are you saying it's going to make a difference? Because the Word of God says that it would. He's made it as easy as He possibly can if we just follow His directions. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and I pray that this message would not be something that enters one ear and goes out the other, but this would become an established part of our prayer lives. Lord, I pray that You'll be faithful to open up their minds, their hearts, Your Word, so that they'll be able to apply these principles as they gather around the altar, because we know the difference that it will make because of the promises that You've made and the testimonies that You've secured inside of Your Word. All we have to do is cling to them and let our faith rise from that, and then we'll see the hand of God begin to move in the way that we desire to. Lord, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Let's come and pray.